Welcome to Hype, episode 122. My name is Selena, and I have Pam with me today. The apocalypse is... I'm kidding.
Coming to you live from post-apocalypse.
Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Hype. This is going to be a show as usual, obviously. Our news section is a little bare this week because, for obvious reasons, there has not been a lot of entertainment news this week following the election, and we hope to bring you some joy and some distraction, I guess. Yeah. Is that fair to say?
Uplift, and we hope that we inspire you to have a better week and be awesome people, because we know you guys are all awesome people, and yeah.
Exactly. And you know, fiction is sometimes a great escape, and sometimes I wrote an article on Hypeable about some fictional worlds that sort of can inspire you to build a better reality for yourself and the world. Right. And so sometimes, you know, we just need to celebrate the power of good fiction, I think.
And fandom is so powerful. It's such a powerful tool, and it's a wonderful way to broaden your minds and your horizons. So never let anybody tell you that this is a waste of time. Trust me.
Absolutely. But so, as always, before we get into this week's show, we just want to remind you of the contact information. If you want to send us any, you know what, this week, why don't you send us some suggestions for shows or books or movies that have filled you with a sense of purpose or optimism or inspire you, or that you really feel like you learned something about the world from. And if we get some good suggestions, we will put together maybe a list next week and read it aloud and sort of hopefully inspire our fellow fans and other listeners to go out and experience some of that fiction, diverse fiction written by powerful minority voices and starring amazing people like that would be definitely most welcome. If you want to do any of that, or just comment on the news this week, you can do that by emailing hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Twitter @hypeablehype. And you can, of course, find us on hypeable.com, which is hypeable.com. And you can contact us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And of course, Instagram, which is instagram.com/hypeablehype. So we look forward to hearing from you in any of those ways. And without further ado, let us head into our own How We Hypes. I have a bunch. Well, I figured I would do a couple of different things just because the news segment is a little bit shorter than usual and just to spread it out a little bit. So the first thing I'm going to hype up this week is actually a documentary that I saw on Netflix called Twinsters. And I don't know, have you seen this, Pam? Or heard of it at all?
I have, actually. Yeah, it's the two sisters, right? They didn't know they were twins and they were adopted separately and then they found each other.
Yes.
Like, yeah, online. Yeah, I have seen that. It's great.
It's incredible. It's if you see it on Netflix, like, you see this picture of the two girls lying in the bed looking kind of like each other, but not that much in that picture. So I always kind of scroll past it because I was like, well, it's just a documentary by two YouTubers who think they look alike. That's what I thought it was. And I was like, well, that's kind of narcissistic. but it turns out, yeah, it's a documentary about two girls. They were both adopted from South Korea. One was raised in the US and is the YouTuber. And Anaïs is from France. And her friend discovers Samantha's YouTube video and they connect and they, you know, figure out that they're twins and that they have this shared story. And it is so, it was, so everybody probably, like, especially only children probably have this, like, secret fantasy of finding a secret, like, twin out there. No, at least I know I did. So it was like a little bit of, like, wish fulfillment in a way. And it just, the story of them is just so gripping, and knowing that that kind of stuff can really happen, and knowing that they found each other and how connected they were, it's really beautiful. It's a very beautiful story of these two girls, and I highly recommend it.
I watched it a while ago, but I second that recommendation. It's good.
Yeah. It's so cool. And they're both like really artistic and so talented. Oh, I love it. So there, that is my first one. So why don't you go?
Okay. I can also... Oh, my gosh. What the heck is happening? The world is ending, and then I'm clearly
the
ending
air
too.
Is polluting. The air is checking out.
The toxic waste has come to California, my God. You guys. Okay, so this week I actually went to the movies, and I went to see Arrival with Amy Adams. And for those of you that don't know, this is the movie where she's a linguistics professor at a university, and she gets tapped by the FBI to try and figure out how to communicate with these aliens that have touched down on Earth. They've touched down in 12 different places, and it's her job to kind of figure out what they want, why they're here, and what their purpose is. I remember seeing the trailer for this. The teaser came out a couple of months ago, and I was intrigued, but I didn't think I was going to go out and see it on the first day it came out, and then my brother wanted to go, so we kind of like made it a little family, like, gathering, and it was so good. I'm so glad I went out to see it. I loved it so much. I think that it was just really great to see, like a woman be allowed to be good at her job, you know, and just like be the
you
person.
Don't say.
Yeah, no, just be the person that's like taking charge of the whole situation, because the whole plot rests on her shoulders, and Amy Adams is great. And I didn't know very much about the movie, which was good going in, because a lot of like the plot twists and stuff like that were unspoiled for me. So if you don't know very much about it, I would just implore you to not watch any more trailers and just go see it and write back and let us know what you think, because I really enjoyed it. And I've been seeing like some positive reviews, despite the fact that I think I also saw that it didn't do too well in the box office. But most people that I've seen on my Twitter feeds and stuff like that have really enjoyed it. So
yeah, I'm seeing it next week. I'm very, very excited. I'm going to this film. It's not a film festival. It's kind of like a film presentation where the different studios are showing a bunch of different films. And that's one I'm hopefully going to get to see Hidden Figures and Moana as well. So I might, you know, have some spoiler-free, very, very bare-bones reactions to that next week. But I'm very excited, and I agree with Pam. Don't watch any more trailers, because I had to do a big write-up about it for my other job, and I sort of feel like even just watching all of the promotional material and reading all of the synopsis, like, I'm sure there's more to it, but I feel like I know the story. So that's kind of a shame, because I think it's a very powerful film. So I've seen another film. I went to screening of Hacksaw Ridge last week, and I have two films now. And Hacksaw Ridge, I'll just say really briefly, it's obviously Mel Gibson's movie starring Andrew Garfield about a soldier in World War II who refused to take weapons into battle. And I will say, like, I probably would not have paid to go see it, just because it's, you know, Mel Gibson, and it's kind of like not my kind of movie. But I will just say, if you can. He's obviously a very, like, he loves the violence, and he sort of makes a big spectacle of it. And in a way, like, in terms of art, it's actually very well done. And if you can sort of look past the, like, there's a very strong sort of, not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's a very strong, like, religious undercurrent in the film, and a very sort of strong, like, especially maybe for like a Danish audience, it was a little bit, people are like, oh, what's happening? But the film itself, I mean, it's a very well done film. And if you like a good war film, especially now with Memorial Day and everything, like, it's very good, well-timed in terms of release. And I think people will sort of really enjoy it for those reasons. You haven't seen that, right?
No, that one I have not seen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my second one, and then I'm done, is because, you know, I figure, you know, we are a very worldly podcast. I mean, one of the things I think that hopefully makes Hype stand out from the rest is that we, you know, Pam and myself, we're both bilingual, and I'm from Denmark, and Merima's from Australia, and we have sort of a wide circle of references. And I figured that I would maybe, and listeners can let me know, other than Emmy, who's my fellow Scandinavian. We have a couple of Nordic listeners, actually. But if you think we should do a few more of these recommendations, I have a recommendation of a Norwegian film this week that I also went to see at a screener. The English title is Framing Mom, which is ridiculous. The Danish title is Rosemarie og Gartnerens Hemmelighed, which is like Rosemary and the Gardener's Secret. And it's about this 16, 14, 6, somewhere in that, girl who is adopted, and the woman who's a journalist who actually found her, like, found the baby in the bathroom on her wedding day. And then they meet like some years later, and the girl actually thinks that the journalist is her mother. Obviously she's not, and it's all very heartbreaking, and they go on this search for her real parents together. It's an amazing movie, and the teenage star of the film, whose name is Ruby Dagnall, I think, you know, Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things, like, it is her, just a few years older. Like, it is the same person. They look exactly the same. They have the same haircut. They are both extremely talented. And she also recently joined the very, very popular Norwegian series called Skam, which means shame. And it's about a group of high schoolers in Norway. And it's all just amazing. It's a really good movie. She's a really talented actress. Shame, the TV show, might interest a lot of you if you're up for watching something with subtitles. You know, shout out. The subtitles conversation is back. So I would just highly recommend it. Very, very good movie, and a different slice of the world for you, which might be nice.
Okay, well, that actually plays into my one last thing I wanted to recommend. I've listened to a bunch of different podcasts, and Anna Faris has one called Anna Faris is Unqualified. And a while
ago, I love that one.
Well, she interviewed Ellen Page, and while she was there, she was talking about the show she has with Viceland called Gaycation. And it's just Ellen and her best friend, Ian Daniels. And they basically are just traveling and exploring different LGBTQ plus cultures around the world. And it's just so eye-opening because I'm not gay. I don't ever have to worry about, you know, how a culture is going to receive me when I go places, I guess. It's just not something that you don't think people would have to take the extra precaution. But it's just so... The series is really wonderful. It's very... intense and compelling at times, but it is very interesting to see, like, what traveling looks like, places like Jamaica, Brazil, Japan, if you are, like, queer or, you know, different in any way. So I highly recommend checking that out. It's on Viceland, and it's called Gaycation, and it's really great. We've actually been kind of going through all of the episodes here slowly in my family, and it's just been lovely. So definitely check that out if you're looking for something that's more, like, documentary-based.
Yes. Oh my God. I really want to see that. Mm-hmm. I haven't yet. I know it's coming back for another season, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So like, it'll be really good. Awesome. So that brings us to the end of the show. No, that brings us to the end of our recommendations. We hope that you found some inspiration in there. Just to sum up, because we're bad at remembering to do this. Twinsters, Arrival, Hacksaw Ridge, Rose Maria, Gardner's Hemlighed, and Gaycation.
So there you go. What was that second to last one again? You turned into the teacher from Peanuts, you know, like the wah, wah, wah. I'm like, what?
Well, thanks.
It was all a blur. Oh, framing mom.
Framing mom. Ooh, well, okay then, moving on. So actually, part of our plan... A lot of our plans have been derailed this week, but one of our plans was to save all of the Fantastic Beasts news for, surprise, our upcoming special, which we're going to be recording, hopefully, I don't want to promise too much, but hopefully by in a week or a week and a half or however it comes together, because we're both me and Pam are going to be seeing it soon. But there's hardly any other news, so we are actually going to be tackling a few Fantastic Beasts stories here at the top of the news. And one thing, obviously, is we have already been talking a bit about some of these things, including, obviously, the Johnny Depp casting. We talked in depth about that last week, so we're going to try to focus on a few different angles now, also because we'll be getting into it in our special, too. But the first story is, obviously, there have been some red carpet interviews and junkets and all that. So we've got a lot of little snippets of new information. And J.K. Rowling has revealed something that I think we already knew, or at least suspected, is that Fantastic Beasts, the series, will span 19 years, 19 years later, and that it's going to be... focusing on Grindelwald's rise and fall, which makes sense because they've got such a big actor for the role of Grindelwald. And, you know, as Fantastic Beasts begins in 1926, we can sort of do the math and add 19 years. And that brings us to 1945, which is when Dumbledore defeated Grindelwald in a duel and won the Elder Wand. this is, I mean, it's fun because, first of all, like, it suddenly brings a whole new meaning to this prequel series. And first of all, I find it a little bit strange that it's, if this was the story that she was going to tell, it's kind of interesting to choose to tell it from Newt Scamander's perspective and to have it under this Fantastic Beasts header. But I do think it's a good use of a prequel series. And I think, like, months ago when I wrote a speculative article about Dumbledore being in Fantastic Beasts, I think I pretty much laid out that this was going to be the plan. So I'm feeling a little bit vindicated.
You know what? I feel the same way because, like, I think I've said this before, but I write for another entertainment site on the side. That's, like, my full-time job. And one of the first things I did when I was hired was they wanted a list of potential people we could see in Fantastic Beasts. And I was, like, automatically, like, Dumbledore, Grindelwald, like, that's it. I don't know how. And maybe Bethilda Bagshot. So exactly. I'm waiting, like, for that's to pretty go much three the for only three. One. Yeah.
And Dobby, right?
And Dobby.
Dobby could turn up.
Dobby, yeah, everybody. Just everybody. Harry's going to time travel. You know, now we know that time turners are a thing. It's gonna be a...
Yep, for sure. I mean, come on, let's be real. Her name starts with D and ends in Elfie. She's gonna be there.
Yeah, oh my God, you've cracked the mystery.
I mean, look, there is gonna be an Audrey in Fantastic Beasts, apparently, according to EW. So there you go.
We've solved it. You guys don't even need to see the movie. Like, we've already spoiled it all. Just kidding. Yeah, I think that, like you said, we all kind of suspected, especially when it was confirmed that... Well, when we heard of Grindelwald's name in the trailer, we all just kind of figured, like, okay, like, it's going to be about 20 years, but how are they going to split it up is kind of more, I guess, what we're all looking to now. It's like, how many years will each film span, or how many years are we going to, like, have had pass in between?
Yeah. And in terms of the main characters, we also have to remember, like, first of all, they can age people up, and obviously the amount of time it takes to film all these films is also going to age the actors naturally. But also, wizards obviously live to a significantly longer or older age, so we can expect that they will probably be aging a little bit slower. Like, that's not going to be a problem.
I do just kind of, I mean, I know you touched on this, like, the fact that it's interesting to have the story kind of fall into this whole first Wizarding War when we always thought it was going to be Newt's journey. I'm curious to see how she balances that. And I hope that we don't, like, I'm sure there's a reason why Newt is the main character, but I hope we don't lose his story in the process of telling this other story that seems so large in the grand scheme of things.
It's hard to imagine because, first of all, like, Fantastic Beasts, like, the biggest beasts, like, Fantastic Beasts are going to be Grindelwald and Dumbledore. Like, first of all, you know, Johnny Depp is Grindelwald, and who knows who's going to be Dumbledore. Might be a huge actor as well. And their stories are just going to be so much more interesting and familiar to Harry Potter characters fans, who sort of already know the bare bones of how Newt's story and Porpentina's story ends up. So it'll be very interesting to see how they try to sort of not, as you said, like, not lose Newt in this story that is much bigger than him.
But again, it's kind of one of those things where, like, we might be worrying for no reason because of the amount of weight we put on, like, somebody like Newt and also something like the war. So maybe, like, they do blend together very well. And I'm sure they figured out a way to do that. But it is, like, it does make you think. Stop and think.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not me. Sorry.
Well, last week we went deep into our thoughts on Johnny Depp's casting as Grindelwald. Now we have finally heard from J.K. Rowling, who made an official, she kind of just made her official thoughts on the whole thing known. As Selena said, we've had a lot of these, like, press events now that we're up to the week when Fantastic Beasts is set to be released. So she said basically that she's delighted with the casting and she thinks that he's done incredible things with the character of Grindelwald. And additionally, David Heyman also kind of revealed his thoughts on the matter, and he had really positive things to say. And he said that, like, the funny thing is that they both kind of pegged him as an iconic actor, which is precisely why most of the fan base is worried. kind of worry that he's too iconic and he's going to overshadow everything. But they seem to be really excited about this. And it's clear that they're very big fans. And if you want to hear more of our thoughts, of course, like go back and listen to last week's episode, because I think we spent about 20 minutes talking about this. But basically what you need to know is Joe and Heyman are pleased and they're clearly looking forward to seeing what he does with it.
Yeah. Well, okay then. One thing that is probably more exciting for most of our listeners and us here on Hype is that obviously with Grindelwald also comes young Dumbledore, and with Johnny Depp also comes the potential for, I mean, likely, even though it's no secret that we were probably hoping for more unknown actors that could break out with these roles, it's likely now that they have Johnny Depp in Grindelwald's role that they will have to get an equally big actor for Dumbledore. And in fact, J.K. Rowling says that she already has an actor in mind, which is interesting. She won't say who it is, obviously, because they don't know if he's going to say yes to the role or if it's going to work out. David Yates even sort of, he was speaking about it at a press junket, and he said, you know, if you have any suggestions, ha ha ha. And my favorite suggestion is, you know him. What is it, Dylan from Potter Musical?
Oh, Dylan Saunders. Yeah.
Dylan Saunders. He's like campaigning for himself.
No way. Oh, Dylan, stop.
With hashtags and everything. It's hilarious.
I mean, if he gets cast, I'm going to pull every alma mater card I can. So, high podcast
Look,
is coming for
I mean,
you.
If Johnny Depp is American and can be in this movie, then I don't even care. Like, just cast him. Like, I don't even, whatever.
You know, good luck, Dylan. I hope for the best for you always.
Could you just, how fun would it be? Like, I know we have a lot of reasons to sort of squint our eyes a little bit at J.K. Rowling at the moment, but if she legitimately was like, yeah, I have an actor in mind, I really want it to be that guy from a very part of musical. Like, I would love that.
I feel like my Facebook, like my personal Facebook feed would never be the same again.
Yes. Oh my gosh. But no, but seriously though, I mean, obviously Dylan Saunders is our first choice. Come on the show, Dylan, and talk about it. But if both think like in what you would personally want, so like maybe a little bit lesser actors that you think would do a good job, or if you're thinking a little bit bigger, like what are some like extremely big actors that you might see as a young Dumbledore, if you could choose?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think like British, but also old. Oh my god, imagine if Anthony Head was cast as Dumbledore.
Oh my god, I would love it. But is he that old though?
No, probably like, not. But he just looks like regal and.
No, I mean like Dumbledore. Is he gonna be? Because I know
he's supposed to be like Johnny, 50, right?
Yeah, but look at Johnny Depp. Like he looks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, 50 doesn't have. That's what I mean. Like in the Wizarding world, I don't think 50 means 50.
Oh, you think it's gonna
50
be like,
means like 40?
You think it's
35.
Gonna be like young, hot Dumbledore? Although maybe I'm thinking too.
Hell yes.
Old.
I mean, you,
well,
look,
then obviously
Giles,
it's going to be Benedict Cumberbatch. They're going to troll all of us.
That is the top of my list of people that I absolutely do not want it to be. So it's probably going to be him. I'm actually going to stick with my pick that I think I mentioned last week of Matt Smith from Doctor Who. I think that he is amazing. I think he has this timeless, sage-like quality to him. I think he can, you know, we've seen from Doctor Who now, you know, obviously The Crown. I mean, he is just such a good, solid performer. And even though he has been in these huge things, I feel like he's not a Hollywood A-lister. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he maintains a little bit of that. Like, he could be Dumbledore and not be a big actor who's playing Dumbledore. But still, he's big enough so that he can sort of command the screen, even when Johnny Depp is on the opposite side. And I know, I mean, it's kind of a kitsch like choice because he was Doctor Who and stuff. But I mean, Johnny Depp is Jack Sparrow, so you know,
okay,
it doesn't matter clearly.
Serious suggestion. I'm gonna go. He's a little bit older. He's like, but he still looks good. I'm gonna go with Jeremy Irons. I feel like he would do
well. Yeah,
I think that he's got the look, and I think that. Yeah, I just like everything he's done. I know he just did like Alfred and Batman versus Superman. I think that's his most recent role. But of course, he's voiced Scar in The Lion King. He was in Man in the Iron Mask. I loved him in that. And also in Die Hard, you know, who doesn't love a classic action flick? Imagine Jeremy Irons, like, from Die Hard, playing Dumbledore, squaring off, and, you know, I don't know. Just, like, but I think
it would be cool if they got someone with a little bit more of an edge, because I think what I'm thinking with Matt Smith is that he's a little bit softer, and he's, like, he's old and wise, but can still be young and joyful, which is kind of what I see Dumbledore as. But with Jeremy Irons, you would get someone that was a little bit more of a hard ass, you know, like that would actually, like a colder Dumbledore. I think that would be very interesting because he has changed a lot.
And you know, it actually, that actually might kind of work because he will have been coming off of like, well, he'll be coming at this with the frustration of the fact that, you know, Ariana died because of, you know, this conflict that they had.
He's a young and angry man.
He is a young and angry man. Although, to be fair, Matt Smith can be very intense as well. Like, we've seen that in so many of his roles. So I'm pleased with both of our picks, but I want to turn it over to the listeners. So if you guys have, like, some strong feelings as to who you think could be a good young Dumbledore, let us know.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, Alex Laos.
Yeah, Colin Morgan. Hey, Alex, we can't, everybody from Merlin, we can't get you to be the doctor, but we can't,
Katie McGraw.
We can't campaign for you to be young Dumbledore.
Yes. You started it with Anthony Head. I mean,
I know, I did. Yeah. Well,
I love him.
Just imagine you got Giles and Uther as one. That's like that's basically Dumbledore.
That's Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Oh. Because we know he has that tough... Oh, I don't know. I am like... I mean, they can definitely, you know, disappoint me. They have proven that. But I am, you know, I am a little bit excited about to find out who's going to be Dumbledore. Because it's Dumbledore, you know? And it can't possibly be more disappointing. So I think we're okay. We have had our fair share of disappointments recently. But now sort of on that same thread, like not only will Dumbledore have to square off against Grindelwald... We obviously are also dealing with a young Dumbledore who has been in love with Grindelwald, and J.K. Rowling had some comments earlier in this week regarding that, which is kind of, I took a little bit issue with the way she worded it, just because I feel like when you have a series like Harry Potter that has so little LGBT representation and you have a character like Dumbledore who is openly gay but has never been gay, like that was never talked about in the books, I feel like now, obviously, we're going to see him as a young man. I mean, it is obvious. I feel like it's obvious that it's going to be in there. Otherwise, it would be horrible. And she confirmed it without really confirming it. She said, you know, someone asked if his sexuality would be explored in the prequels. And she said, you know, I'm very comfortable with that question. I would like to say, because this is obviously a 5-part story, there's lots to unpack in that relationship. You will see Dumbledore as a younger man and quite a troubled man. We'll see him at that formative period in his life. As far as his sexuality is concerned, watch this space. So while we might have sort of wished for her to be like, I know the world sucks right now. Yes, you're definitely going to get gay Dumbledore. You know, obviously this is as close as a confirmation as we really need when it comes down to it, which is very exciting. I wasn't expecting anything less, but it's still nice to have it confirmed.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this because I think that this is a side of Dumbledore we haven't seen. And I'm excited to explore that. I mean, like, we kind of got a taste of, like, the unnecessary taste of angry Dumbledore with Michael Gambon in Goblet of Fire. But this is, like, really angry Dumbledore. And that's what you want.
Mm-hmm,
I think that it makes sense.
I mean, that's not exactly what we want.
No, but he should be frustrated.
I don't want him film of him shouting.
No, but I think that it's, like, just in the, because of when this takes place, it makes sense for him not to be, like, refined and old and wise. Like, he should be...
Oh, yes, you know, yeah, rough around the edges.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's going to be exciting. It's so exciting when you get to go back and see how these characters that you love turn into the characters that you know. So
yeah, exactly. So very exciting, and we will definitely have more to say on it next whenever we do our Fantastic Beasts special.
Okay, so that is it for Harry Potter news, but rest assured, we'll be back with more Harry Potter stuff. We're going to move into another fandom. We're going to go into Hamilton now. Excitingly, we got 2 new mixtape tracks from Lynn following the election, basically. These came out kind of towards the middle of the week, and they were kind of a much-needed little gift for many, many people around the world. And these tracks are really great. I don't know if you've listened. I want to start with Satisfied, which is basically a straight cover from the track that exists on the original Broadway recording. The version for the mixtape is actually sung by Miguel, Sia, and Queen Latifah. She comes in and does the Angelica raps, and Sia kind of plays, well, she kind of plays Angelica too, but she does more of like the singing and stuff like that. But it's just like, it's so well done. The harmonies are like so tight. It's amazing. Lynn also released a fun little clip of Jonathan Groff reacting to listening to this track for the first time. And he just like loses it because it's so good. And I think that that's a fair assumption of how most people felt when they hit play. It's just really great. And it's just kind of another thing that gets you so excited to listen to the rest of this album when it drops on the 2nd of December. The other track he released was much more relevant to just kind of everything that's been going on in the world. He released the track Immigrants, We Get the Job Done. And this features a couple of different MCs. He has, I'm sorry if I pronounce this name wrong because I've never heard of this person before, but he has K-Non, Snow the Product, Riz MC, and Residente on here. If you have not looked up the lyrics to this, Lynn did tweet a link to the Genius lyrics for this, which translates a lot of the parts that are in Spanish over into English. I highly recommend that you do that because it just adds a whole different level of meaning to what these people are saying. And he also went on to say that he picked his favorite MCs from around the world so they could all kind of tell their immigrant story. And what you'll find is that there's a lot of overlap despite the differences. And it's a really great track. It gave me chills when I listened to it the first time. And yeah, it's great. And I'm so excited that the mixtape has allowed a lot of these people, some of which like we're maybe not as familiar with as others, like a platform upon which to kind of share their own American stories and stuff like that. It's just really lovely.
Yeah, we need Hamilton more than ever.
We do.
And, this mixtape comes at a good time. I actually have to confess, I haven't listened to any of it yet because I haven't felt like I was in the right mind space to appreciate new music, if you know what I mean. Like, you sort of have when I listen to new music, I like identify it with however I'm feeling or doing or whatever. So I'm gonna wait a little bit and then I'm gonna sort of take it all in, I think, at a different time. I know, is that weird? is that like,
no, I think that some people are really like music really messes with their moods, like not messes with it, but meddles with their moods.
Yeah.
And for some people, music can be like uplifting and put them in a different mood. I kind of go back and forth. Like sometimes if I'm really upset, I don't want to listen to my favorite songs because I feel like they're going to be tainted by the feelings that I'm experiencing at that moment. And then other times I know that I need to hear those songs so that I can be in a better mind frame. Music is like so powerful in that way. And it's really nice.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think you're weird.
Okay, thanks. That's basically what I needed to hear. Okay. So moving on now, there is a gorgeous new first trailer for Luc Besson's Valerian, which is an adaptation of, well, the full title is Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, which is an adaptation of the French graphic novel Valerian and Laureline. And the main characters are played by Cara Delevingne and, Cara?
Delevingne. Cara Delevingne.
Delevingne? Mm-hmm. Okay. And Dane DeHaan. And I have to confess, I have not been as very encouraged by the news of this movie. I've seen, you know, some of the poster art sort of featured them in identical outfits, but hers had like breasts built into it, and I was like, are you serious? I'm not like, I was very unsure about how these particular actors would handle these roles. But this first trailer, which is basically, it's a teaser, it's an evocative mood setter, it's gorgeous. It's basically the closest way to describe this would be like Bonnie and Clyde in space. You know, these are two like space cops that are also lovers and they travel to, you know, a bunch of different planets. And it's just an absolutely gorgeous, like there's a little bit of a Guardians of the Galaxy feel to the design of space or cities and stuff. And obviously, yes, on the other side of Guardians is Jupiter ascending. So we're not exactly sure this is going to be amazing, but the teaser has at least assured me that it's likely going to be good. He's been working on this for decades. he's very dedicated to this story and this movie.
I actually don't know, like, I don't know too much about this movie going into it, but sometimes I think with these, like, spacey sci-fi things, it's kind of a good thing. But I am excited because I do tend to like the work Dane DeHaan does. Like, I enjoy the projects he picks for himself, so I'm excited to see, like, him in it specifically.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I mean, Luc Besson has done The Fifth Element and Lucy, and he's got this huge vision for this universe, and it's a very different kind of story. Obviously, it's a different kind of, because it's a French graphic novel, so it's a little bit different than the comic book adaptations that we're used to seeing. And very exciting stuff. You can watch the teaser and judge for yourself over in Hypeable, and the movie comes out on July 21st, 2017. And maybe my favorite part of this is actually the social media campaign. They have redone the teaser trailer with a quote from like every single news outlet that has reported on the story. So we got like a message from them from Hypeable, like, look, you're, and then it was like my headline, which was like, Escape Earth with the gorgeous teaser. And it was like at the beginning of the teaser. And they have done this for every single outlet, like hundreds of them. It's so simple, but it's so brilliant.
That's super cool. I love that.
I know.
Okay, well, moving from one graphic novel adaptation to kind of another, Jessica Chastain is set to take on a comic book role with Painkiller Jane. This news broke on November 10th, and Deadline was the one to report this. So she's going to be playing the role of Jane Vasco, a New York City street cop who gets recruited by the FBI to infiltrate a major New York City drug and human trafficking ring. And then she kind of goes into this near-death experience where she then develops exceptional regenerative abilities that give her a unique and indestructible advantage. So the story kind of goes from there. This sounds like another girl kicking butt, and we always need more of that. So,
oh my god, you know what I love about this the most?
It's like a female Luke Cage, kind of.
First of all, yes, and second of all, I think this is the first, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like this is the first non-franchise female superhero lead movie that we've had in a while. Like, obviously, we've got Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman coming out, sort of like an offering from DC and Marvel both. And people are like, oh, well, I don't know if, because Catwoman failed or Elektra failed, they're like, oh, maybe female superhero movies aren't going to do as well, blah, blah, blah. But it's so nice to see that other non-main studios are being like, yeah, you know what? We have Jessica Chastain. She's a huge star. We have this comic book franchise, we're gonna make a female comic book movies are huge right now, we're gonna make an offbeat different comic book adaptation with a female lead character, and it's gonna be in the big screen, and I love that. I think it's we need that right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. There is actually no real release date yet, because all of this is kind of like in pre-production, but the good news is that it's happening. So keep an eye on Hypeable, and you know, keep listening to us, and of course we'll update you guys with any new news we hear from this, but overall very exciting.
Yeah, of course what we also still need is a female non-white superhero leading her own movie, because like that needs to happen. But this is, I mean, it's still good, and I do like Jessica. I do like Jessica Chastain.
It just reminded me of, what's his, oh my god, I just completely forgot his name. David Tennant's character in Jessica Jones. He says Jessica very strangely.
Oh yeah. Killian? Is that his name? No.
I can't.
Killjoy?
Something like that. Someone will correct us, I'm sure.
Hold on. You can hear me typing right now. Kilgrave.
Kilgrave. There you go. You were close.
Yeah, I was close. Yay. Okay, on that happy note. So let's see. Moving on to another exciting story is that the J.R.R. Tolkien biopic that I didn't know was happening has just landed a director. The movie is called Middle Earth, and it will be directed by James Strong, who is a British director, and he's known for Broadchurch and Downton Abbey, which is fun. And Angus Fletcher will write the script. So this is basically the origin story of the man who brought you Lord of the Rings. You know, Tolkien let this amazing life. He fought in World War One. He was ripped out of, you know, basically his Shire life to go off into this just battle that brought out the worst in humanity. And he created this magical world, or this, you know, to sort of help process some of the big human ways of being human and ways of fighting wars through this fantastic world of elves and men and dwarves and hobbits. And now, you know, his real life story is being told. And first of all, I think that his story warrants being told anyway, but it also just again brings you back to how sometimes we need fictional alternate realities to process the real world. And that's really what he did with his series and with the Silmarillion and all of Middle Earth. And very, very, I think it's very great that the movie itself is called Middle Earth.
Yeah, I love that. No, I hadn't until this announcement came down. So I guess they've maybe, I don't know. It's so weird that neither of us did though, especially you, because you're such a huge Tolkien fan. But maybe they did this on purpose so that we would all be surprised when news broke.
I don't know. I just hadn't heard of it. I don't know why. I feel like there's always millions of these in the works. And obviously, we know that these kinds of author origin stories, they tend to go very well and they tend to be really affecting, because I feel like the stories, like obviously an author oftentimes is writing about their own experiences, and you see elements of the story, you know, sort of echo in real life. And I feel like it was the same with Finding Neverland, by the way, one of Johnny Depp's best roles, I will say.
Right.
And you see it with Saving Mr. Banks and those kinds of
Becoming
things.
Becoming Jane, Beatrix Potter, like all of those. Like, it is really cool to see like how these directors go about mixing these people's lives with the creations, like, well, the contributions they make to culture with their work. So I think it's going to be really compelling, especially because, like you said, he led this crazy life, you know, fighting in the war and stuff like that. So, okay, so we have got a bit more casting news for you guys.
This is a Middle Earth connection. Middle Earth, if you really want to make it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Speaking of hobbits. Concerning hobbits.
Everyone's favorite hobbit, Samwise Gamgee, also known as Sean Astin, is he's set to join the cast of Stranger Things season 2, which is basically Stranger Things keeping on brand with their 80s love of stuff. Because, of course, Sean Astin was also in The Goonies and all of these other wonderful films that came out around that time. So we're going to get to see him join the cast of Stranger Things when season 2 picks back up again sometime next year. And then also we have another casting announcement for Stranger Things. Paul Reiser from James Cameron's Alien series has also been cast. He's going to be playing Dr. Owens. There's a couple of descriptions over here for these characters on Hypeable.com. I'm going to circle back around to Sean Astin because I completely got sidetracked. But we'll start with Paul Reiser's casting. He's going to be playing a high-ranking member within the Department of Energy, so it kind of sounds like he might be one of the new baddies in town, but with Stranger Things, you kind of never really know here or there. And then Sean Austin's actually going to be playing a guy named Bob, who's described as a kind-hearted former nerd who went to high school with Joyce and Hopper, and now he manages a local Radio Shack in Hawkins, so that might be interesting. And it's going to be fun to see how these guys play into the world they've already created and what's going to happen in season 2, stuff like that. So there you
go. And so rounding off up the news this week, we do have, because if you have been on Hypeable, you might have noticed there's been a little bit less news than usual. And I think it's been the same on most entertainment news sites, because like we sort of alluded to at the top of the show, it feels like entertainment is a little bit less important right now than certain things happening in the real world, as a fallout of the election and everything like that. But some of the things we have written about is we have found, or we have reported on, some absolutely wonderful open letters that have been written by various people in the entertainment industry as they try to process the nation's grief and confusion and trying to spread positive messages and spread messages of that people might need to hear. One of them is Aaron Sorkin, of course, from The West Wing, who has penned a letter to his daughter. His letter is great. I mean, he starts off by saying, you know, remember that we're not alone. There's a billion people around the world who are feeling very lost right now. And, it's a very nice letter. If you feel like you need some uplifting words, Sorkin is the place to go. There is also another important person in our lives who has penned a letter. Her name is Leslie Knope. And we were all wondering when she was going to crawl out of her finished show and get real with us. And obviously, Leslie Knope is a fictional character of Parks and Recreation. We were all hoping for a special, but this will have to do. It was a letter written by Leslie to the American people by a writer from Parks and Recreation. It's just really wonderful. Like, if you watch Parks and Recreation and if you know the character of Leslie Knope, you probably have an idea of what her sentiment is going to be. And her letter, I mean, I don't know if you've read it. I've read it several times. I think it is wonderful. It's funny. It's honest. It's very raw. It's very serious. And she speaks directly to particularly young girls in this. And I'm just going to try to find a good piece of it.
I have a good piece, actually.
Okay, well, you go for it.
She says, and we'll start at the beginning and then we'll skip a little bit. She says, "I acknowledge that Donald Trump is the president. I understand intellectually that he won the election, but I do not accept that our country has descended into the hatred swirled slope pile that he lives in." And then she goes into the tones of optimism, which I think a lot of people are searching for right now in this time where, you know, everything's kind of hanging in the balance. She says, "I reject that. I fight that today and tomorrow and every day until the next election. I reject and I fight that story. I work hard and I form ideas and I meet and talk to other people who feel like me. And we sit down and drink hot chocolate. I have plenty. And we plan. We plan like mofos. We figure out how to fight back and do good in this infuriating world that constantly wants to bend towards the bad. And we will be kind to each other and supportive of each other's ideas. And we will do literally anything but accept this as our fate." And that's like ultimate Leslie right there, isn't it?
For sure. Yeah. She also relates a very, very funny story about an election she went through when she was in school. That went horribly wrong.
That was so great. It's good. A nice way to especially if you have like little ones around. It's a nice way to explain how things go down. But
yeah, it's so great.
What we can all take away from this situation is that if you see something that needs to be changed in the world, then go and figure out how to change it. I mean, don't just sit back and watch things happen and wonder why they don't, because things change because people stand up and they rise up and they demand change. And and I think that if you're anything like me, you've been kind of taking the last couple of days to figure out how you can yourself contribute to the change you wish to see in the world. And Leslie's comments are the comments made by this writer as Leslie echoed very much what Senator Barbara Boxer said on Chelsea Handler's show on Netflix. And she basically said the same thing. She says that we regroup, we process, we converse, and then in 2 years we fight like hell to create the government and the country that we want to see. So don't lose that momentum going forward, because it's lovely that everybody feels so much right now, but you want to keep that going until, you know, tears comes around, especially if you're American like I am. And vote and back the people that you believe in. I know I have people that I believe in, and I'll be supporting them, you know, going forward like I always do. But find those people in your own communities and demand that they fight for the things that you want them to fight for.
Very well said. And I think, you know, as obviously Hype is not a political podcast, we're not here to offer political commentary, but I think what's very important to realize also, if you're listening to this morning, why are they talking about politics, is I think this is, for me at least, for many people, this is not so much about politics as it is about misogyny and racism and marginalization and targeting of vulnerable communities. And I think that's something that Hype and Hypeable is always sort of not averse to engaging in that kind of discussion. And we have done so about various entertainment news stories in the past. And I think This is obviously
Yeah, we're not over here like votes for women in movies.
Yay, fictional president.
But
you know, I mean, it's real life stuff, and it's not, you know, it's not one party versus another. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with protecting the liberties of vulnerable communities, and we don't, you know, we don't think that that has to be distanced or separated from fandom. Just look at things like the Harry Potter Alliance and Lumos and Gishwish and Supernaturals just keep fighting. And those kind of, like, there's so much overlap between those two. And that's not to say, you know, in any way, like, again, it's not so much, oh, we're going to talk about politics. It's more that, you know, we think that it's important for all of us to stick together and stand up for those who need it.
Right.
And that also comes from me, who's obviously not American and is speaking about this from from an outside perspective,
yeah.
Even though you can argue how much this is going to do for the world. But that's a different discussion.
That is. Just go out and basically just spread a little love this week for yourselves and for others and do something nice for somebody. I think that the world needs that and we'll all be better for it.
Mm, for sure.
Okay, and we have one last bit of news. It's kind of sad news, actually. Famed Canadian singer-songwriter Leonard Cohen passed away this week at the age of 82. This news was shared with the world via his Facebook page, and it was kind of bittersweet because he had just released his 14th studio album on October 21st called You Want It Darker. The family did not really release a cause of death or anything like that. They just asked for privacy at this time. The statement reads, "It was with profound sorrow we report that the legendary poet, songwriter, and artist Leonard Cohen has passed away. We have lost one of music's most revered and prolific visionaries." And then they also said that there was a memorial set to take place in LA at a later date. He clearly lived a very fulfilling life. He actually had an interview with The New Yorker recently where he said, "I'm ready to die. I hope it is not too uncomfortable. That's about it for me." So clearly he had made peace with the fact that he, you know, maybe he even, some people kind of just know when their time is coming up. But of course, he just contributed so much to artistry. And gave the world so much, including the wonderfully haunting song Hallelujah, which also kind of had a big moment in pop culture this week as well.
Yeah, no, because obviously, you know, kind of going off of the election fallout in the media and in pop culture, the SNL kind of united the two, you know, the presidential election and Leonard Cohen's passing by having Kate McKinnon cold open this Saturday Night Live show singing Hallelujah, just totally straight, just completely, this is not fun in any way because this is serious business. And obviously Kate McKinnon as Hillary Clinton, it just makes it even more powerful. And I think it stirred up a lot of emotion for, you know, for both reasons. And obviously in Leonard Cohen's case, he lived a long, full life and contributed so much to the world of music, and it's very sad that he's passed. But at the same time, when you reach a certain age, and like you said, when you sort of know that you have done everything you need to do on this earth, it's more bittersweet than sad. And then I think what made it truly sad was, you know, Kate McKinnon as Hillary Clinton singing.
Yeah,
it stirred a lot.
It was so incredibly profound, and just the way that the lyrics played to both events were just, it was so striking and it was beautiful and heartbreaking and just kind of, I guess, everything you would want from, you know, in a way it's like, I hate to say that, like, obviously like Leonard Cohen passed, but it was also kind of like marking the passing of this dream and this vision that Hillary had for this country. So it was just, I think, understandably so, it brought a lot of people to tears. I know that I was tearing up, especially like going into the second verse.
And I was confessing before the show that my cold Nordic heart was like, "Oh, this is so cheesy, whatever." Like, my brain cannot process these things. Like, it's very sad for me because I'm just like, I just shut down emotionally and I can't react. But no, I mean, in all seriousness though, it was beautiful, and a lot of people needed it, and a lot of people needed the catharsis of that sadness in that moment. And as you said, the death of this dream, and how profound and wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, she did kind of leave it again, like most late night personalities have been leaving things like this with a very kind of just like a message of promise and a message of hope. She said, "I'm not giving up and neither should you." So,
yeah,
I think that was a really nice way to leave things off. And it was bold of SNL to go with something that wasn't funny. They could have easily chose to go for humor, but it was a nice somber moment for the show.
Right.
So.
Right. In a way, like, you don't want to go for humor in this moment. I think a lot of us have kind of felt that the time for jokes is not now. So well done to them.
Definitely.
Okay, TV show of the week. Seamless transition.
Yes, yes. I mean, like, TV is the ultimate escape from reality.
I know. So. And speak of, I mean, let's go with yours first, because let's talk about empowering television right now. Oh,
my God. I'm going to cry. You guys, this was the episode of Pitch I've been waiting for. Because Ginny Baker finally made her way to my city by the bay and played at AT&T Park, which is the most beautiful park in baseball. Okay, maybe, like, there are some other really pretty parks, but you have to admit, like, even if you don't root for the Giants, like, that's a pretty damn nice park, okay? It's also a pitcher's paradise, so it was a really nice, I don't know. I get too, like, involved in the analytics of this show, but in all realness, it really is just, like, it's not... Baseball takes a backseat to, like, the main issues, which is, you know, kind of, like, empowering women and showing that Ginny can do anything that she wants. This episode was really, really interesting because, Selena, I think you remember that there was a couple episodes back, there was this whole idea of maybe her her personal photos being leaked to the media. She had taken some photos for her boyfriend, and now she's kind of seeing the aftermaths of that happening. These photos have fallen into the hands of people that are not very nice, and they're threatening to leak them. So they kind of come up with a very, very clever way to take it back and to show that, like, that she can still be empowered by this terrible thing that's about to happen to her. She's also dealing with the aftermaths of this mental breakdown she has after everything kind of starts falling on her shoulders from the week before. And it's just a really, really good episode. But of course, I really loved it for the San Francisco Giants ties. Our commentators, Krug and Kipe, who are amazing. They had a guest appearance on the show, like, they weren't seen, but you could hear their voices. So it was just, like, really great for me on a personal level, but also it was just, it was just really good TV. So I hope that if you guys aren't caught up, you're watching. And again, and please watch when it airs on Thursdays, because you guys, I'm going to cry if the show gets canceled. I'm not even joking. I need another season. It's so good.
Yes, for sure. I'm not caught up on it. I've fallen behind. The Crown and Gilmore Girls and Buffy just completely threw off my TV watching plans, and I haven't caught up with it at all. In fact, the only thing that I have watched this week, and it was specifically for the podcast, was the pilot for Timeless. We talked about it last week. It's one of the new shows that I know some of our listeners are particularly excited about. I watched it. It's a show about group of time travelers that are, like, go back in time, basically, to try to stop historical events from being altered by someone else who travels back in time and tries to alter them. So I found the pilot to be less than exciting for me, and it might have something. I mean, I'm coming into this aware that you cannot judge a show by its pilot. If some of my favorite shows, if I'd stopped at the pilot, you know, I would have missed out on something truly great. So don't take this as, like, an anti-endorsement or something. Like, I wasn't particularly impressed with it. I think I have very high standards when it comes to time travel shows and movies, because I've just experienced it done so well a couple of times that whenever it's done kind of offhandedly, or if it doesn't totally make sense to me, like, I'm a little bit like, and that goes for Cursed Child as well. And actually Legends of Tomorrow, which is another time traveling show that kind of is a little bit like this. I think it was Tucker Conley that told me this on Twitter too, that I feel like Legends of Tomorrow doesn't do it very well, but it at least does it marginally more interesting than Timeless. Like, I wasn't really hooked by the characters. I wasn't really hooked. I feel like it's basically too easy. It's like a guy runs off in time with a time machine. They have a backup time machine, and they're like, okay, well, we need to, they just pick, like, people out of the blue, and they go, like, a woman who is a professor and a guy who's like a Navy person or military person. And they're like, okay, you two, come here, go back in the time machine. This is a time machine, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, if I had a time machine, I would probably not pick people off the streets to go back in time. In all, it didn't hook me. I didn't really find it that exciting. I found it a little bit rushed. Like, we have this huge premise, but let's just get over it so we can get to this kind of not very exciting main story.
Interesting. I thought the pilot was pretty good. Although I will admit that it hasn't enticed me to, like, I didn't feel the need to go, like, watch the second episode after, like, tune in the next week. I was like, oh, I can put this, you know, on the side and come back to it later, maybe. I think that it's really going to come down to for me specifically is how much I like Time After Time, which is coming out sometime next year, because I was always a little bit more excited for that. I tend to like my time travel with a little bit more of a whimsical element, and I think that bringing in fictional characters like H.G. Wells into this, well, not H.G. Wells, but like a fictional version of H.G. Wells into this is like, that's a little bit more up my alley.
Exactly.
Kind of more Doctor Who-y, like hokey, but in a nice way. So,
yeah. And I feel like as well, like I know they did the like perfunctory, like, oh my God, time travel is real. But it just, you know, when you've heard that sentence a million times, you're kind of like, yeah, but, you know, either like go somewhere different with it. Like either have them be like, oh, cool, I always knew it. Or like have them have some kind of a little bit of a different. I felt like it was very formulaic, is what I'm trying to say. I will say though, in the show's defense, Emmy Foss, our one of our listeners and a very intelligent TV person who has very good taste. She loves it and she watches it, and like she says, you know, part of the reason why she likes it is because it is a little bit shallow, because she needs a show every week that doesn't make her think, and Supergirl is her happy place, but Timeless just gives her an hour of easy enjoyability. So for that alone, it might be worth checking out. Tucker Conley, jumping into the conversation, said that he actually likes Frequency, which is on the CW more, and I'm like also intrigued by Frequency, so I will make it like a priority to watch it in a future episode of Hype, although I think I will spend my time this week watching, first of all, Gilmore Girls, because I'm like on the clock with that one, and also the rest of Class, because the pilot for that just blew me away, and I loved it so much, and I really want to know what happens next. So those were our TV show recommendations of the week. Please feel free to share any opinions or anything like that you have with us. Now, sort of moving along into our emails, we actually do have an email following up about the Timeless discussion that we had last week, where a listener brought up, Nuvia, I think it was, brought up the idea of the lawsuit happening with a Spanish show for Timeless. Do you want to get Jason's email?
Sure. Jason Lynch says, hey, Selena, I just listened to Hype Podcast episode 121, where you talk about the show Timeless and mention a possible lawsuit against stealing the idea from a Spanish show. I thought this was really interesting because when I first saw the trailer for the show, I thought it was a direct ripoff from the third book in the Pendragon series, which is called First Earth. It is the exact same plot of a group of time travelers who go back in time to stop an evil time traveler from changing history. It even focuses around the same event from the past being altered, the Hindenburg disaster. When I saw the trailer, I wasn't sure if it was a TV adaptation of a book or a ripoff of the same storyline. Just thought I would like to let you know, if you haven't read the Pendragon series, those books are great.
Pendragon.
Yeah, no, you know what's so funny is I used to work at a library when I was in college, like my local library, and these books fly off the shelves and they're in the children's section. So I'm very aware of the series, but I've never picked it up myself. I just want to look it up.
I haven't either.
So that we can give the name of the, it's by DJ McHale. That's the author. And there's a bunch of books in this series. So, yeah.
Awesome. Now, like, it's funny because I think also, I mean, obviously I have no idea what they did or did not take from various other, but I think this also just speaks to the fact that, like, I was just saying how many of these kinds of stories there are and how similar they all are. Like, it's always, you know, a group of time travelers going back to stop an evil time traveler from changing history to his or her favor. And, you know, that's the story. That's the classic time travel story. And it just feels so lazy at this point, more than anything else. But it's interesting that it's the exact same event. That is pretty funny. So moving on into tweets now. Tucker Conley again says, did Hype ever talk about Unreal Season 2, or did everyone hate Season 2 so much that you decided not to do a special? Full disclosure, I never finished Season 2, not because I hated it, just because, like, it's very hard. Like, I fell behind, and then it was like 3 episodes, 4 episodes piled up, and it just was so overwhelming. And then I heard that other people didn't like it so much, so it just kind of fell to the bottom of my queue. Did you finish it?
No, I fell behind too. I fell behind right after the girl, like the crazy, like, fit girl, like, almost killed the other girl. And, like, they made her look crazy.
Oh, yeah, I did see that one.
Yeah, that's the episode.
Oh, where... that made me so angry.
Maybe that's why you stopped watching. No, I fell behind right after that because just sometimes life gets in the way, or, like, you have to... I think I started, like, rewatching Quantico or something. I don't know. And then soon after that, our Unreal writer was like, Unreal's falling off the bandwagon. Like, things are going crazy. I don't know what's going on. So maybe we fell off just in time. But I do kind of want to get back to it at some point. I feel like Unreal is a show I like to watch in the summer, though. So
yeah,
I might have to wait.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that is like a good summer show in some way. Like, yeah. So watch this space, Tucker. Like, I think, you know, in the words of J.K. Rowling, watch this space. Because I think, you know, we probably will get to it eventually. And I don't know if Merima finished it, but if she did, she's sure to have a lot of thoughts. And it would be fun to do a special on it. Just sort of also reminiscing back to season one, which was genuinely so, so good. And Tucker also said, you know, called out the fall TV special, which didn't bring up a single CW show. See,
that's
a
lie.
This
is
because I wasn't on it.
We did. We did bring up one. We brought up a couple because Kristen is a huge fan of CW shows, but we did not bring up Frequency. So,
okay,
we brought up, I can't remember what it's called. It's like the new comedy where the world is ending and oh, let me look it up really quick, but you can keep reading the stuff and I'll get back to it. What is it called? Huh?
I thought that was Frequency.
No. Frequency is the one with the ham radio, and she, like, her dad is like in the 90s, and she is, she's a cop in the present. They're both working on a murder case. Okay. What is it? It's, CW. It's like One Night... No, Tomorrow. That was the big one that Kristen was really, really excited for. It's a romantic fantasy comedy series. And it's...
No Tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. So this woman lives in Seattle, and she kind of befriends this free-spirited guy who inspires her to make an apocalypse list. A list of things to do before the world ends, which he claims will be in 8 months and 12 days. So it kind of goes from there.
Yeah, that's fun. Mm-hmm. So do you want to take the next one? We'll go down the list.
Sure. Let's see here. Kelpie says, Telly to cheer us up. E4's crazy head from creators of Misfits. Demons, fun, gore. Oh, and two female leads. Check it.
What? Hold on. Was this the one that we, like, hyped?
I feel
like
we hyped it and then we forgot about it, just like Class. This is so sad.
So that came out, that premiered on October 19th.
Well, if it's on E4, I can't access it, sadly. I mean,
but
like,
I can.
But you can. I'm going to be really sad. Cause
damn it, Kelpie. Now I have to watch another thing.
she like knows.
No, I'm glad, really.
She's got our number, though, because, like, I love Misfits. We love Misfits. We should do a Misfits special. We should do a Misfits revisit.
Oh my god, that would be so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Hype girls do Misfits or whatever. But no, Crazy Heads. Oh my god, I'm actually really glad you brought this up, Kelpie, because I remember now our huge hyping of how excited we were for the show, and then I just completely forgot about it. And it's like, it's two girls, like Amy and Raquel, attempt to navigate their way through the choppy waters of their early 20s while simultaneously kicking the ass of some seriously gnarly demons. What could possibly go wrong? This is just,
I want it
I'm
in
gonna,
my
I'm
life.
I'm so excited for this show. Yeah.
I'm going to have to wait for it to come
I'm
on
so
Hulu
glad.
Or something.
I know. I'm so glad for the recommendation. That's awesome. Stephanie Merrill says, and I did go to the Cubs parade and it was incredible. Update, watch one episode of Arrow and all of The Crown. Hashtag, is that how catching up works?
Yes,
that's
it
how
is.
I do it.
Or if you're like me, you start like Well, yeah, basically yeah. like this. You start new shows or you start rewatching old shows you love instead of yes. watching what you need to do.
I know. Oh, my God. Like my Buffy watch, which I would probably be doing anyway, although that is kind of like an exercise in self-torture because like it's so sad. Because it's just like, who's going to hate on it this week? Like, it just makes me cry. But no, it's still fun, though.
That makes me so sad. Love for Buffy.
Yes, lots of Buffy love.
Laura says, completely agree with Selena regarding the conviction pilot. Love legal procedurals, but that pilot was so flat. I'm rewatching season one of The Good Wife instead. Oh, the good old days.
So one of the news stories that nobody wrote up on Hyperbole this week, because it's been a mess, is actually that Conviction is sort of, it's not canceled, but they're not, like ABC hasn't ordered any more episodes for season one. And a lot of people are like, oh, that means that Hayley Atwell can get back to Agent Carter. But I do just want to bring up, by the way, for those of you wondering, that Maren Dungey, who is on the show, she's the sister of the president of ABC, Channing Dungey, I think is her name. So first of all, that kind of gives the show a bit of an edge, I think. But also, she has tweeted out that like it's not going to be canceled. And she sort of very strongly insinuates that it's going to be back for a second season. It's just a shortened first season. So it's not canceled yet.
Maybe it will be, because even like, what is it? Oh, Legends of Tomorrow over on CW, like they came back they gave it a short season. But they have now expanded the second season, so everybody's getting four extra episodes tacked on to the end. I think it's like up to 17 now instead of 13. So
yeah, that happens. Yeah. That happens with a lot of shows. So that's like not totally unheard of. But I do love the enthusiasm for Agent Carter that still lingers, because I definitely have it as well. So Kate Arnold, finally, we're ending on a Fantastic Beasts question, bringing it all back. She says, assuming you're going to talk about Depp as Grindelwald, why wouldn't they keep Jamie Campbell Bauer? Hashtag not my Grindelwald. I don't know. I mean, Jamie Campbell Bauer like had a tiny role in the Deathly Hallows. So, and he's probably also too young, but I know that it was a rhetorical question. So yeah, I agree. It would have been kind of fun to see him back. It would have been good continuity. But, I mean, you know, they clearly wanted a big star who can do incredible character work. So that's your answer. Sorry, Kate. I wish I casted these movies. And that brings us to the end of listener feedback. Thank you so much to everybody who wrote in. Don't forget that you too... Oh, no, actually, we're going to end listener feedback with an iTunes review. That's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, well, the funny thing is that nobody can access the iTunes reviews except for me unless you switch iTunes stores. So if you live, like, abroad, especially in what it would have to be like the Denmark store or the Australian store, you should leave a nice little review for Selena and Marima, because
yes, please.
They hardly ever get leave to see them. Danish so reviews. Every once in a while, I like to pop into the American iTunes store and see if we've got any new reviews. And we have a lovely one here from Amandon Lawn, okay. I think.
I like it already.
Who said, my favorite podcast. I've listened to you guys for about 8 months now, and I look forward to your episodes every week. Love your specials, too. Thanks for all your hard work and being awesome. Aw, does that give you the warm fuzzies?
Yes, it does. That's so nice. Thank you so much, Amandon. Was that it?
I think so.
Okay, well, thank you so much. That was amazing. Like we do this every once in a while. We ask you to please head on to iTunes and subscribe to us. First of all, that's the most important thing. Subscribe to us via iTunes, and also maybe leave us a 5-star review. And the reason we ask for 5 stars isn't because we are like full of ourselves. It's because that's the way you rise up in the rankings in iTunes. So if you do want to help give us a little bit of a boost, then you consider doing that. Because that would actually help us out a lot in terms of finding more listeners and getting more cool opportunities as a result. And you can also contact us if you want to leave any feedback on this show. Don't forget, we would very much like to ask any listeners for empowering recommendations in fiction. Anything written by or starring minorities, and any inspirational worlds or messages or anything like that, like, please consider writing that in and sharing that with the fellow listeners, because I think we could all really use a good boost of inspiration and empowerment any way that we can get it. And you can do that either by emailing us, hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Twitter @hypeablehype. And you can find us, leave a comment on our podcast post on hypeable.com, which is hypeable.com. Go to the podcast section in the right or left-hand corner. And you can also find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And on Instagram, which is hype@hypeablehype. So with that, I mean, we will, next time we speak to you, we will both have seen Fantastic Beasts.
Exciting.
And we will be planning our special. Very exciting. So if you get to see Fantastic Beasts too, please leave us your short reviews and we will save them for the special. We're also going to be aiming to get our final Gilmore Girls season 7 podcast discussion out. I think it's like next weekend. Is that the plan?
That is the plan. So we said this on the special, but if you haven't had a chance to listen yet and you're listening to this first, send in your revival predictions. Send them via email, though, and make sure that you, like, if it's anything involving what happens in season 7, you clearly mark that so Selena will not read them until later. But send those in, because yes, we will be making some predictions at the end, like, and Merrimena will finally get to make some of our own, and we'll, yes, we'd like to include you guys in there as well. So if you have them, send them
in. Yeah, send your predictions for the revival. That will be a lot of fun. I'm 6 episodes in, so I have a lot of catching up to do. I might just go watch some Gilmore Girls right now when we finish this recording. So but thank you so much for going on this journey with us, and I think, just, you know, to wrap up, we'll be back next week with more hopefully fun entertainment discussion, and until then, we just hope that you guys take care of each other and promote awesome people,
yeah, and spread love and all that good stuff.
Yeah, just do whatever you can to make the world the best place possible. Okay, so thank you so much for listening. My name is Selena.
And my name is Pamela. No, I'm not gonna raise my shot. And yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, strappy, I'm hungry, and I'm not gonna raise my shot. Rise up. If you're living on your knees, you rise up. Tell your brother that he's gotta rise up. Tell your sister that she's gotta rise up. When a force like me and you gonna rise up. Every city. Okay.
Okay. And start clapping.
Start clapping.
Yay! And then sync that up.
Do you know, one time I was on MuggleCast and I asked them if they did the clap, and Andrew was like, oh, we can do it for you. And I was like, no, you don't have to do it for me. I was just wondering if it was like a universal thing. And then, so we did it. And then Micah didn't clap. He just said clap.
Oh, because of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And then we were like, you're supposed to clap. And he's like, it doesn't matter. It's just a noise. You just have to sync up the noise. And then, like, my mind was blown, because technically that's true. But
he's wrong, clap, though, because the thing, this on the spike, is so it's much easier to sync up, right, than someone going clap.
It's not a big blob of noise. No.
And people say clap in different, like, lengths of time. And, that's, you know, they true, have to, like, clap. Like, you know, it's just this is much better. Micah,
it was just so funny to me. Anyway, okay, let's do the clap. Let's, okay, do the thing.
Our way is the better way.
Our way.
Okay, so 3, 2, 1.